Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's IRD call on Monday, the 7th of February, we have Rafik Damak, Steve Metallitz, Rob Hutchinson, James Galvin. From staff, we have Dates Piscitello, Steve Sheng, myself, Gisela Gruber-White. Apologies today noted from Avery Doria. And if I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Steve.
Thank you, Gisela, and welcome today to the IRD call. Julie sent out a few agenda items, a few items. One of them is to see if we have any update or any feedback on the draft outreach slides. I know some of you have provided your feedback, and I've updated the slide accordingly. The second question on the item is if and how we're going to do additional reach beyond the webinars, the two webinars planned, outreach for the ALAC community and the ESSEC. So those are the two items I have. Do you have any other items?
I just wanted to ask about, this is Jim Galvin, ask for a follow-up on some of the action items from last time. I know one was to me to reach out to Bobby Flame, and I don't have anything to report there. I actually did not do that. But we also had a couple of actions to, Bob Hutchinson. He did his part with his questions, and I wondered if we could have some discussion about that. And Owen had some actions to reach out to some of his contacts in the Secret Service and some privacy contacts so that we could do some additional outreach to folks with respect to our four options.
Thanks, Jim. I did, one of the action items for staff is to reach out to Tina and the IDN team to see if they have any feedback on Robert's question. So I did forward the email to Tina and Ella. Neither of them has responded to me. I forwarded them to them like early last week, and neither of them has responded to me. So that's my update. I'll check with Nyla sometime today in office to see if she has something to say. Any others? What about the other action items? And someone gave an update?
Well, I don't think there was much discussion on Bob's questions. I don't know if Bob has anything that he wants to add about that. I thought I heard his name. He is on the call, right?
Yes, I'm on the call. We did have quite an interchange, or a relatively good interchange, on the email. And I thought that it's appropriate to send that on to whoever's relevant within ICANN working in the IDN space. But my research indicates that while they answered the question in terms of how to encode characters for IDNs, they did not attempt or there's not a lot of leverageability with the work that they have done into our space, but I want to hear that from them. And so I would like to actually have a call, perhaps with them on the next call or something like that. Steve, is you just forwarded the email? You did not try to speak with him?
I did. I don't have access to Tina. The only access I have to Tina is by email. So that's what I did through the email. I can speak with Nala again to see if we can come up next call. Banana is only taking the fast track process, but so far he's the only person. So I'll reach out to her again.
I see. Is Dave Piscatella's call today?
Dave Piscatella? Yeah, I'm on the call.
Oh, maybe you want to chime in, Dave, and you seem to have a fair amount of feedback from the questions anyway and where that discussion was going.
I'm sorry, I'm chiming in on what specifically?
On language tagging and the identification of what a language tag means in terms of its character set.
Well, I guess I have, I admit that I sort of have always had in mind the kind of language tag that you see in XML records. So, you can identify what ISO, formal language tag you're using in the character set that you're transmitting as part of the XML page or record, if you want to, so to speak. And that's really the notion that I had, because that's the only standard that I'm familiar with. I don't want to prejudice everybody towards that, but that was what I had intended when I was originally thinking about this problem 3 years ago.
Okay, that's an interesting proposal. I guess I'm not sure who controls those standards, and I assume that they would be, are they all ISO standard, or are they a patchwork?
I guess we can, we can certainly look to someone who's spent much more time in the XML world than I have. I think conceptually, what we've been trying to do is not necessarily drill down to the to the formal language specification yet, but to sort of think about what granularity we want in tags. And I think we've made quite a bit of progress in terms of granularity. We've talked about having distinctions between contact information and distinctions between varying other elements such as date and time and email address and telephone number and domain name, and I've actually talked about name server name. My sort of computer science and engineering orientation towards these things is that when you want to discriminate among different pieces of data, you have a tag and a length and a value, and sometimes you don't need necessarily have a length if there's some way to bound it without a length. And so, however we chose to do that, I imagine would be somewhat of an implementation dependency on how we would eventually incorporate it into some protocol. So how I might do this with something as trivial as the current WHOIS protocol would be substantively different from how I would do this with RESTful WHOIS or with IRIS or with Active Directory or however else people might imagine one might do tagging.
Robert, I have a quick question. is the issue you raise a policy issue or implementation issue? That's my first question. And kind of putting my engineer hat back on, the concern you have is about the tagging language versus scripts, right? Is that the key issue?
Jim, is Bob still with us?
Sorry. The policy part is whether or not each field within the registrar data is language tagged and how that language tag manifests itself. And then what are the language tags available? And then from an engineering standpoint, of course, how they correspond to scripts or character sets, wherever you want to designate them, okay? Language sets, and what are the encoding of those language sets. So I guess the answer is, the short answer is both policy and technical, you know. I would hope that we would be putting together a set of recommendations that are clear and implementable.
Okay, that's fine. I will reach out to the IDN.
So this is Jim. Let me ask you a question. I think maybe I've been, misunderstanding a little bit of what's going on here. We are supposed to be putting forth recommendations for what's necessary for internationalizing essentially directory services and looking specifically at who is. It seems to me that the way that the language tags would manifest would depend a great deal on what replaces the who is protocol. I don't think that there's a mechanism for enhancing it or changing it, and certainly it's not within our purview to recommend that. I don't think anyway. If people disagree, I'd be interested in that. But to me, this goes to the heart of what Dave was saying before about, XML. He sort of has this model, and it's sort of the same model that I have, quite honestly. I'll expose my bias in that respect. XML allows you the freedom to... You create whatever number of tags that you need for the data that you have to have, and then each data element can have its own language tag that goes with it. And XML, lets you do that if that's what you want to do. And as far as what language tags are available, I don't see ICANN, specifying those. They'll come out of whatever those kinds of things come out of, the communities that they come from that define them. So I guess I'm not quite... With that as my bias, I'm not quite understanding then, now that I think about it, the question that you're asking, Bob. So could you respond to that and help me?
Okay, so I think the observation you made basically says you can tag anything with any language tag that you want, provided the protocol supports that, okay? And that's possibly a legitimate policy for us to adopt, okay? But it would mean that, for example, a person's name could be in Chinese, the line of address could be in Hindi, and the city could be in Russian, okay?
Well, this is Dave. Bob, I think that... you're absolutely right that if there's no complementing policy to simply saying that you would uniquely tag the objects, then that would be a let's say, unintended consequence. But on the other hand, if what the concern is for something like contact information is that it all be in the same, quote, language, unquote, then what you do is you create a data structure that is contact information, and all the elements of the contact information would then be tagged with a single language tag. And that really...
But I guess what I'm more interested in this case is if you adopt a technical method for doing it, which is like XML or something like that, it's fine with me. Then you've left the policy question undone, and I guess I would like to see some recommendation from this group about what the policy is for this stuff. Okay.
So I'll ask you a question to exploring a little bit more about the issue, because one of the things that I've raised on the mail list is whether or not you would have U-label or A-labels for name servers. And Steve Sheng and I had been having a jabber conversation about the nature of the way that we've treated DNS thus far. And one of the things that we've tended to do for 20 some odd years is users think of a domain name as what computer scientists call a presentation syntax. It's the information that a user sees. Whereas protocol people think of a domain name in the DNS context as what's called the transfer syntax, which is the bits that go across the wire between hosts. And when we get to the point where we're talking about U labels and A labels, we've actually tried in a very, very indirect way to make a discrimination between the two. Now, granted, you can see an A label in many implementations, but that's not really the intent. So one of the things I was trying to understand is, and based on our discussions and some of the things that we've agreed to do with the domain name in the WHOIS record, specifically, provide both the A and the U label, is I tried to understand how that affects other elements of the WHOIS record. So as an example, I would like to see email addresses composed in a manner where we're not running around with @xn, dash, dash, mumble, mumble, mumble. And I also would like to see in a WHOIS record a name server name where I get a U label as part of what I can represent. But that actually creates something very interesting from your concern, which is, what if my email address is in Chinese and the rest of the record is not? Is that wrong? What if I name my name server using Chinese characters? As long as I have the U and the A label, is that okay? Yeah. And I'm not certain where we go with contact information, because that's obviously the trickiest part of this whole information set that we're trying to deal with.
So this is Jim. I mean, one of the things that occurs to me is that I agree with Dave. And let me put a slightly different, context or character to what he was saying. I mean, I imagine coming out of this group recommendations for each of the data elements. So we want to speak to the issue of internationalizing directory services in this domain name lifecycle context, and all the information that goes with that. So I think that I can imagine us saying that we should speak to what would be the syntax of the domain names, the name servers, what should be the syntax of dates, and maybe we should say what should be the syntax of contact information as a group to get to the issue, Bob, that you're raising about, well, can we have a name and an address and each in a different language, quote-unquote kind of thing. to me, the four recommendations and the four models that we are struggling with that we haven't decided between really speak to the issue of contact information. To me, that's the hardest part in all of this, is what do we want to do about the contact information? Because I think that that, in many ways, is some of the most valuable information, which, I mean, all of it is in this context. But, I mean, that seems to be the part that people have the most issues with, being able to understand and use that information. I mean, I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's pretty straightforward to say what we want, you know, email addresses to be, to call them out separately, and the phone numbers and the dates. We didn't seem to have too much dissension about those, even in our discussions here. So, I feel like we're almost done, except for choosing between these four models, which is why I want to make sure I understand if there's really an outstanding question or not, Bob. It's not clear to me if you're asking a new question or related to something that we've already said. So am I putting any more context on this and helping at all here?
Well, I think simply put, the question that I before the group is, what is language tagged and what is the domain or what is the scope of that language tag with regard to the registrant data? And answering that by saying the protocol will define that. You know, I'm fine with that if that's what the group says, and some other body is going to do that. I guess I was under the impression that it's, you know, one of the things that this group has to do in order to well define what the policy for collecting and storing and displaying registrant data is.
Oh, I understand now, Bob. This is Dave. When I was describing, you know, the language tag with respect to protocol, my orientation was that whatever granularity of tagging, the policy community would agree is appropriate for internationalizing registration data. That granularity has to be available in the underlying protocol. So I'm thinking more in terms of trying to make certain that the protocol that we and the data structures that we utilize are able to support, you know, a policy of whatever granularity is determined by consensus, you know, policy development. And I agree with you that there ought to be a policy. I think that Jim and I have talked about the fact that, you know, at least from our perspectives, and this is an opinion, it's not necessarily, you know, ICANN's, and it's certainly not a staff position, but I think the contact information is the crux of all this, because almost all the rest of the information is relatively straightforward, and the representation of it is often not that strongly in control of, you know, of the user. So sponsoring registrar and name server names and other things like that aren't always something that a registrant composes. But the contact information is the critical information for intellectual property, the right to use, so to speak. The ability to deal with someone on a business or technical or legal relationship, and so I think there's where we're going. I'm inclined to believe that what we want is one data structure for all the elements that we identify as quote contact information, and it would be so tagged with a single language, and I think that. Also, I hope that also accommodates, I believe it was Steve Vitalik's concern about mixed scripts in name composition and street and city composition as a lot.
So, Bob, I'll give you my response to your two questions. You asked two specific questions, you know, what is the language tag and what is the scope of the language tag? And I think the scope of the language tag is precisely, I think that's very much in scope for this group. And I think that's really the question that we are, we're trying to address here. In order to internationalize the information, you know, the obvious thing to do is you've got to tag it in some way with a language tag. And so what we've really been talking about is the data elements and the syntax, what standards exist for specifying the syntax of the data elements, and then to specify specifically that we need to have a language tag incorporated in that. Some of that is included in having, you know, U-label versus A-label. There's some knowledge there about the language that may be present. Some of it's available in the encoding, but I think that's the relatively straightforward stuff. The question about what is the language tag, to me, the protocol actually does define that. So that manifests itself in whatever the ultimate representation is and whatever is chosen and the ultimate protocol that's chosen, which I don't think we're going to choose. To me, it's our job simply to specify the requirements for the next group that's then going to have to make the technical decision about choosing between who is, you know, enhancing who is in some way again, maybe adopting IRIS or doing something different. That's what I meant by the first option. The second option would be IRIS. The third option would be this RESTful who is. Those seem to be the three choices that are out there. But I don't think we're going to choose between those three choices. That's not what this group is going to do. We're going to put out the requirements that are going to lay the foundation for the next group to decide. And, you know, from my take on it, I think we've got consensus on really on everything except the contact information, because that's what those four models are about, and that's where we ultimately have to make our decision. To me, that's the only real open question that we have, and I guess that's what I'm trying to make sure of here. In my role as chair, I'm just trying to make sure we have addressed everyone's issues. So I'm trying to understand the issue that you're asking about, and determine if it's covered or not, or if there's a new question there that we haven't addressed.
Jim, can I get into the line?
Yes, please, Steve. Go ahead.
So I'm trying to understand Bob's concern and Dave's answer. So one of the policy questions that I do see that may be a policy question is to what granularity of the tagging of the contact information. So, for example, do we allow, you know, within the contact information there are different elements. There's the name, there's the address, you know, there's the name, city, and there are other information. Do we allow each of these data elements appear in different languages? So you could have a Chinese name, but you have like an Indian address. Those seems to me are the policy questions, like the almost like mixing scripts questions. So I guess Bob, is that the question you are raising?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm asking. I think that without well, if you do specify it, it leaves the door open for anyone to use the maximum flexibility, which I believe would be used to hide identities. Okay, and if you do specify it, then you have to specify it in such a way that is acceptable to the larger community. And I don't know what the larger community's acceptability for this is, because I'm not out there as a registrar doing this every day, and I would want to get feedback from the registrar community about if we're going to constrain it in a particular way. This is also where law enforcement, I think, would be interested, is, you know, if we're going to go for a cycle of user feedback or, you know, outreach feedback, I would prefer to do that in this cycle. That's primarily why I raised this question.
Okay. So this is Jim. So the question that you're asking is, should we be allowing different language tag, should we recommend that different language tags be possible in different sub-elements of contact information? And in fact, perhaps different contact information should be allowed to have different language tags, or should we say that all contact information should be in the same language? So are you asking that as part of doing our outreach, should we include asking that question?
Yes, because I believe that the people who have the most experience as to whether that's relevant or how relevant it is are both law enforcement and the registrar community in terms of whether that fits the reality of the worlds that they deal in.
Okay, that makes sense to me, and I think that's a good question to ask, because you're right. We should talk to the people who are actually working with this information and, you know, certainly dealing with the users and sort of understand the usage model. I mean, I'll confess my expectation would be that contact information as a whole, whatever we decide to collect under contact information, I would expect to want to all be the same language tag. I suppose it's possible for different contact information to be in different language tags, but I wouldn't expect individual sub-elements to be different. But I, you're right, we should ask the question, and we should see what the usage models are and see what people expect.
Okay, I'll add this question to the outreach slides.
Steve, this is Steve Metallitz. Could I get in the queue, please?
Oh, go ahead.
I think if I've been following this conversation, and I'm not sure I have, I think this is already somewhat addressed in our models. I mean, if you look at our slide 7, it says, you know, model 1 is you have to provide the contact date, and the registrant has to provide the contact data and must be present script. I'm not sure why we continue to obfuscate this and not just say ASCII, but I know we've kept this must be present label here the whole time. But that seems to suggest that you have to put, if you're a registrant, you have to put all your contact data in using that script. And then Model 2 says, you know, as an alternative, it's whatever script is accepted by the registrars, and then the registrars have to do certain things to make it available. So 2, 3, and 4 all say that the registrants can use any script that the registrar accepts. So I'm not sure what the question, the new question is. It depends on which model is adopted. If it's model 1, the registrant has to provide it in a particular script. If it's models 2, 3, or 4, then it's really up to the registrar to decide what script would be accepted. I'm not sure that I see anything else added by the question as to whether, are you saying you could provide your name in one script and your address in another?
That, Steve, this is Jim. So that's exactly the question. A sub-question in each of the four models is, you know, is there a usage case? Is there a use case where you might want to have different elements of the contact information in different languages? Presuming, of course, as you say, that a registrar supports that, and, you know, a registrar is capable of entering that information, and, you know, that's what gets pushed back up into the registry for thick registries, and that's what's supported. You know, so there are a lot of assumptions behind all of that, because the models really are based on the use cases. But I think that's the sub-question in each of the four models.
Okay, I'm not sure it's a sub-question in Model 1. Model 1 says this one script that you have to use, right?
Fair enough. I apologize. Yes, you're right.
Models 2, 3, and 4, that question is really, could a registrar say we'll accept it partly in one script and partly in another?
To me, Model 1 is the keep status quo kind of state where, as you say, we kind of obfuscate a bit, but Model 1 is all about you just keep everything in U.S. ASCII.
Right.
And so you always have to encode things into an ASCII format in order to make it work.
Right. Okay, that clarifies it. Thank you.
Okay, I'll add that to the outreach slide. It's a very interesting discussion.
So, I mean, So this is Jim again. I think that, at least for me, the primary goal of the outreach is to get input with respect to those four models. You know, it might be appropriate to go back, Steve, for ourselves, for the group, maybe for our next agenda, just to make sure that we really do have consensus. Let's, you know, make a point of recirculating our document. I'm trying to think about the last time I looked at our document, how specific the recommendations are and where they are. I want to make sure that we have consensus in our group on all of the other issues. I mean, are there any open questions right now? I don't think that there are. The only open question at the moment is how to deal with contact information and these four models. And so the primary goal of the outreach is to make this visible and to get some input from the community about those four models. Does anyone think I've got that wrong?
We haven't talked about the date, how the date should be internationalized, but that's a real minor issue compared to like contact information.
Okay, so let's make sure that comes out in our next meeting so that we can get past that. And then use our next meeting here, and so we should make this visible to people sooner rather than later, and, you know, try to declare officially that we're trying to say we've got consensus across the board, except for the date that we'll talk about next time, and just confirm that we are down to where we really have to decide between these four contact choices. I'd like to make sure if there are any other issues, I want to get them out on the table, because otherwise I think we're very close to being done. And again, the goal of this outreach is to get some input for us so that we can make this last final hard decision of choosing between the four models. And I want to make sure we cover everything. If anyone has any open questions that haven't been addressed, I want to make sure we get those out so that we can deal with them.
Okay, I will take a note of this and send an email to the working group to see any open issues.
Okay. I think we might have. Did we finish up here?
Pretty much. Go ahead.
No, please, to you. I was going to say, what's left on our agenda? I think.
There's one question of how to outreach to. I mean, ALAC and ASAC, as you know, we have going to have two outreach presentations to them. Do other communities want the same kind of targeted outreach we do for ALAC and ASAC? And if so, how should they organize that, or what's our role?
Steve,
well, this is the question.
Have we finished? Have we done agenda item two about the outreach slides? Because I had one comment on that. As long as we get back to that before the end.
Okay.
Please. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. On slide 13, I think, again, if I understand the models correctly, which may not be a safe assumption, but I think on slide 13 where it says has the transliteration column and the translation column, I think it's probably an either-or rather than a both-and. I mean, we didn't specify whether what the registrant has to provide is simply a transliteration into U.S. ASCII. I mean, I think that was the expectation.
Right.
I think there's some sense, some people, I think, are thinking that it has to be translated into the English language or something like that.
Okay,
I don't think that's what's intended by Model 1.
Okay. So what you're saying for Model 1, it should be, you know, or instead of, either case.
Yeah, I mean,
the one or the other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put an or between the two Model 1s.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. That can be done.
So this is Jim, and getting to your question about outreach, you're obviously going to record these webinars. Is that correct, Steve?
Yep.
So we're
going to do the webinar and record them and put it in a public accessible place. So maybe, then we could send to different, like, mailing groups for those who cannot make to the webinar.
I think that's what we're going to do going forward. I think that's important as we continue to, try to find ways to make outreach to other groups. We've talked about trying to find some law enforcement community, privacy advocates, and try to get some additional opinions about what the right thing is to do here. I guess if we can make presentations to them, we can certainly do that. But once we have these webinars, they have an opportunity to just listen to those and then get back to us with questions. So I'm fine with that. I think that we need to continue to identify groups, and I have the action to talk to at least, one person, Bobby Flame in law enforcement, see if I can't get a view from him. I am going to a law enforcement meeting in 2 weeks in Brussels. I'll see if I can reach out to some of the folks on the European continent, see what interest they have in wanting access to the webinar and getting them to pay attention and offer some explicit input to us. Owen had also suggested he had some folks that he was going to reach out to, so we should continue to move forward with that. And Steve, if you could, follow up on that and see if we can get some opportunities there, that would be good.
Okay.
Just to make the webinar visible to them.
Okay.
And I think that's it for now. We have the webinar scheduled for the ICANN community. We should follow through with those. Edmund and I had both said that we'll be there for those webinars. Other folks, please, are welcome and encouraged to join so that we make sure we've got, enough people representing the work. Also, to answer any questions that might come up, that would be helpful. So, Steve, actually sending out a note to the list and reminding our own committee about the webinars and inviting people to participate just so that we have coverage would be helpful, too, I would think.
Okay.
And this is Dave. I actually asked Steve, sharing this question, and I should probably ask the committee. There are mailing lists and audiences who are who are primarily law enforcement and operations security kinds of people, who I'm very confident are not going to find time away from their day job to attend a webinar. Is it appropriate for us to share a PDF of this presentation so that they have some data points that's kind of midway between an executive summary and the report proper, and at least will give them a sense of whether or not it's worth reading the entire report and commenting?
I think so. I mean, this stuff is it goes up on the ICANN website in some place anyway, right? That's open in public. Isn't that true?
Yes.
So I don't see any issue with calling it out to people explicitly. I mean, you can send them the PDF and save them the trouble, but you could just as easily send them a link to it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with either. I just want to make certain that the working party is aware of that and in favor of it, so it doesn't look like staff is spamming specific lists. I'm going to send this out to lists of people that I know. And if everybody does that, then there's not an issue. But I don't want people to, look rather circumspect at what I'm doing and saying I'm trying to foster more interest among law enforcement and OPSEC than I am among, public policy people, as an example. So, but
I think we have a current goal of doing outreach, and whatever is an appropriate means to make that happen seems reasonable to me. Certainly there's no issue with sending another note to our mailing list and reminding people that that's what we're doing and alerting them to the fact that we're doing this. I mean, if you're going to send a note out to a few mailing lists, you might send a note out to the committee and say, I'm doing this just in case you get some feedback, so that you can be prepared to support it. But outreach is our task at the moment, as I understand it, so it seems completely sensible to me and perfectly within scope.
Do others feel similarly? Again, this is Dave.
So Well, not hearing any objections, I think the motion carries. But then again, I think there are more people on this committee than there are in the call. You might be better served, Dave, by sending a note to the list and just making sure.
I'll do that. Thanks.
Okay. So here's a list of action items to follow up. Bob raised both the policy issue and the implementation issue. The policy issue that we discussed is there a use case where for registrants to submit data elements in different languages at the contact information, and we're going to add that to the outreach slide. Regarding the implementation question on the what standard and to for the tag, I'm going to reach out to the IDN people, particularly Naila, again to see if she has some thoughts. We're going to proceed with the webinar, and I'll send a reminder to this group when it's happening, and they'll also provide a PDF version so that people can use it and forward it along to respective lists. I'm going to check up with, I'll follow up with Owen on some of his contacts. So that's all that's the action items I have. Did I miss anything?
Sounds good to me, Steve.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
Okay. All right, I guess we can finish 10 minutes early.
All right, excellent. And
thank you.
We're adjourned. Thank you very much, Steve, and thanks to everyone for participating, and we'll meet again in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.